Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Lots of strange things going on. And Trey Hudson's talking about it. Trey, I want to ask you just a quick question here. Because of your intelligence background, have you been looking at all at what's been going on here with the government's investigation of UFOs, particularly those congressional hearings a couple of weeks back?
Yeah, I have. You know, and I will say this. I am one of those government guys that has never been involved in anything with UAPs in my career. So, you know, I'm not, you know, some person that said, I work with, some secret program. I've never had anything to do with that. But, you know, as a interested observer and outsider, you know, I've watched this trickle, drip, drip of information coming out from the government, specifically the Department of Defense. And this is the way I look at it is, you know, I've always felt like, UAPs, previously called UFOs, you know, were real. You know, people were experiencing real things. They were seeing real things. You know, they weren't flights of fancy or mere imagination. Especially with the disclosure of the gimbal, go fast, and tic tac videos, I started looking at it through a lens of credibility. Here you have naval aviators, and I believe in my heart of hearts that the Navy is not the only agency or military branch experiencing this. I think the Army, Air Force, Marines, and others have experienced it too. But in this particular case, you have naval aviators, most of whom have degrees in aeronautical engineering, so they know how things fly. And more importantly, they know how things don't fly. You take these guys and gals and you put them in the most advanced platform available, in this particular case, the F-18 Hornet. You take this platform and you equip it with the most advanced sensing capability, radar, search radar, targeting radar, FLIR, infrared, visual, all of these phenomena are the phenomenologies that can detect things in their environment. So you have trained engineers, highly educated people, seeing these objects, detecting it with their equipment, making an assessment that it's flying in a non-ballistic way, in ways in which aircraft, as we understand it, cannot fly. They have radar data, they have IR data, they have visual data, and back in their ships, they have additional corroborating radar data from targeting radar or shipborne radar. So you put all this together, and it's a very compelling, to me, proof that these things are real. If something is flying around, moving in non-ballistic fashions, in a way that aircraft can't fly, and I think any thinking person that looks at this data in an objective way has to come to the conclusion that obviously UAPs are real, they do exist, and it's something worthy of further study.
Well, certainly they are not going to admit tomorrow, hey, E.T. is here, or whatever answer might explain UFOs, unless it is something hugely conventional. They won't do it.
Right. And, I hear people come up to me and say, the government can't keep a secret. And I'm here to tell you, I know for a fact the government can keep secrets for a very, very long time if they want to. And so, it's very possible that, the knowledge of existence of, these crafts and, perhaps even the entities that are controlling these crafts have been known to the government for a very long time. And now why we're starting to see disclosure now is anybody's guess. Perhaps it's just gathered so much inertia that maybe we're not going to let the cat out of the bag, but maybe we'll let you see the tail, tip of the tail, or maybe one paw. That was enough to keep you from opening up the bag and trying to pull the rest of the cat out. So who knows? It's kind of an exciting time. I feel vindicated. I remember my youngest daughter would tease me, over the years saying, UFOs aren't real, aren't they? Okay. And now, You know, much to her chagrin, she has to admit, yes, they are. And I think a lot of people are in the same position of, you know, A, being vindicated, or B, having to accept the reality that, you know, UAPs are in fact a reality. And we don't know what they are.
Having an intelligence background, let's look at this. UFOs first became popular in the U.S. in the late 1940s. The mystery has persisted off and on for many years. If you had a secret then, how would you keep it a secret generation after generation with new personnel, new presidents, etc.?
Good point. There are things, and people refer to them as black ops or black projects, that can be kept secret over multiple generations or years. And I'll give you an example. This would not be classified, so, you know, people can look this up for themselves. The F-117 stealth fighter. The F-117 was developed into a prototype, built into a prototype, went into production, and was operational in 1977. It didn't become public until 1988. And there was an operational squadron operating all over the world, with missions all over the world, with operational F-117 stealth fighters. And it didn't become known until 1988. So going all the way back to the development piece of, you know, radar building materials, you know, faceted airframes, you know, back even before they became operational in 1977, they kept that secret of that technology all the way back from, you know, maybe even the 60s, all the way back up until they decided to publicly disclose the existence of F-117 in 1988. And that's because they chose to disclose it. But you had an operational squadron for many, many years with a cover story, you know, with their actual base they were flying out of was not the base that they were supposedly operating out of. They had a cover story. The cover story had them flying different types of aircraft when, in fact, these pilots were flying the F-117s. So that's just one example. So, yes, they can keep a secret multi-generations. The secrecy oaths are very tight on these things. Is, you know, there are things that people have experienced, you know, years and years ago that they are still held to the same secrecy oath 50, 60, 70 years later. And they will not talk about some of the stuff they experienced earlier in their careers. So absolutely the government can keep a secret. And they've done it. And, you know, people talk about, you know, the Chinese have this capability or the Russians have this capability. And, you know, there's stuff that DARPA is working on that will absolutely blow your mind. That is so far beyond anything you can imagine. But it's all kept with on the other side of that black ops world, of those black projects that, you know, we can't penetrate into. And only certain people in the government, a very few handful of people, have knowledge, complete knowledge of these projects, because so many elements of it are compartmentalized.
Okay, you say stuff that can blow our minds. Specifically, what do you think?
You know, and I'm not going to talk about anything that I have personal knowledge of. I'm just going to talk about stuff that I can speculate on. Is I think that there are craft, you know, aircraft that have capabilities that, you know, are much more advanced than, you know, we think. Maybe travel at higher speeds that have, you know, are undetectable, that maybe travel, you know, up in the edge of space. You know, hypersonic missiles are the big thing right now. You know, I would imagine, and I don't have any personal knowledge of this, but, you know, the U.S. has hypersonic capabilities that we don't disclose, you know, that nobody will know about it until they know about it, maybe on the receiving end of it.
Let's do our break here, because you raise an issue here that's worth discussing, which is possibly some, or at least some, of the UFO scene. So what happens here is maybe, just maybe, there are tests, aircraft, missiles, whatever, drones, that are being seen. Of course, they don't want to admit that. So they allow people to identify them as UFOs. I'll ask Trey about that in our next segment with Gene and Trey and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there's The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Here's a question for you. Why is it that some people aren't as stressed out about the future as you'd think they'd be? Answer? They're probably among the millions of Americans who have prepared themselves with emergency food storage from My Patriot Supply. If the worst ever happens, literally millions of American families are already protected from dealing with empty store shelves. Is yours? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now and grab some emergency food kits. At least one for each member of your family. These kits give you a wide variety of delicious meals that average over 2,000 calories per day. Everything stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. Order your kits now by going to MyPatriotSupply.com. Your order will ship fast and arrive discreetly in unmarked boxes. Listen, this is something you need to jump on now, before the next news headline stuns the world. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork. You know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. 800-932-5140. That's 800-932-5140.
Anyone can fall victim to moving fraud. Know your rights and responsibilities.
There was never really a valid contract.
Movers must always give written estimates.
I was bound to an estimate, but it was after the fact.
Be sure that any document is complete before signing it, and that it includes information to determine the final charges.
It was a version that I had not seen before.
Visit protectyourmove.gov to download a free moving fraud prevention guide. Search for registered movers and view their complaint histories. Move with confidence.
This is Robert Hastings, author of UFOs and Nukes, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Trey, what's your reaction to that? Do you think a certain percentage of UFO sightings are due to advanced craft of some sort?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. And going back to the F-117 example, you know, you have this really... You know, just think back to the first time you saw you know, an F-117. It was so bizarre looking. You know, it didn't look like any kind of aircraft that we were familiar with. And they have to fly these aircraft, not only when they're doing the research and development, but also operationally, they have to get them from point A to point B. You know, they try to do that in times when they shouldn't be observed, but inevitably somebody might see something. You know, I saw a black triangle flying, you know, across the sky. Well, you know, you go back to the B-2 bomber, it looks like a giant flying black triangle. So nobody's going to jump up and say, oh, you know, what you really saw was a classified airframe that we're developing. Folks are just going to back off and let people run in whatever direction they want to. Now, remember, UAP, unidentified aerial phenomena, UFO, unidentified flying object. If you don't know what it is, it's unidentified. So, yeah, absolutely. There was a case that was referred to open source, I want to say about 6 months ago, where there was a TFR, temporary flight restriction, created above one of the ranges where it's believed that the Department of Defense tests advanced aircraft. And it was a temporary flight restriction that extended from this range, created a corridor out to the Pacific Ocean for a very narrow period of time. And then they opened this corridor back up on a temporary flight restriction all the way back to the test range. So, you know, you can put two and two together. They were flying some sort of airframe from this test range out to the Pacific Ocean to do some sort of testing or whatever, or maybe even an operation, and then flying it back, and they cleared the airspace for this thing to, you know, come back undetected. You know, drone technology is so advanced now. You know, it's far beyond, you know, what I ever thought it would be. So, yeah, absolutely. I think things are, once again, identified as unidentified objects, UFOs, which have a normal technological and terrestrial explanation. I mean, it just stands to reason. So, unfortunately, you know, for those folks that are researching UAPs, that throws a lot of noise into the signal-to-noise ratio. So you have these normal, you know, test flights of advanced aircraft going on, and that just gets thrown into the mix with all this other stuff. Now, where the rubber really meets the road is when things fly in a way that are so uncharacteristic, you know, that it would kill a pilot, you know, to stop, you know, within a millisecond, you know, from 5,000 miles an hour to a dead stop, and then, you know, turn 90 degrees and stop and do these non-ballistic flight patterns. You know, that's really, you know, where you have to start wondering, what am I actually seeing?
Also, I think here, if we really had some super advanced aircraft, spies from other countries would get wind of it, and they'd be a lot more careful in some of the things that they're doing. I was looking, by the way, at the photo of the F-117 Nighthawk, and this is interesting. It almost looks like the craft that they fly around with in the TV show Stargate SG-1.
Yeah, and, you know, there's other supposed aircraft like the Aurora, you know, that you hear rumors about, you know, which is supposed to have been the replacement for the SR-71. You know, now there's some speculation that there's, you know, very fast, high-altitude drones, you know, that they're flying. You know, once again, you know, for anybody listening, this is speculation on my part. I'm not affiliated with any program even remotely like that. Yeah, I think that's a reasonable assumption that, you know, these are misidentifications. And, you know, you get people that just, you know, they have their own bias that they want these things to be something that perhaps they're not, you know. And, you know, we always have to look at things with a high degree of skepticism. You know, maybe, you know, like, you know, Sigmund Freud said, sometimes a cigar, you know, really is a cigar. You know, sometimes an aircraft flying, you know, in an advanced nature really is just an aircraft flying in advanced nature that's not disclosed to the public.
I think one of the things that frustrates me and a lot of people, Gene included, is that a lot of the talk right now with the military seems to forget that there were UFO sightings before, say, like 2016. And a lot of reporters, you know, just, you know, who aren't familiar with the UFO phenomena seems to take this as, well, maybe they are advanced aircraft, from either this country or, some other country, forgetting that, people have been seeing UAPs for probably thousands of years.
Exactly. You go back, you go back into the great, airship scare of the 1800s, where they were seeing these mysterious airships, flying around the United States. And then, go back even further into antiquity, you have culturally, in Japanese culture and, European culture, images and, effigies of, flying craft that, obviously they did not have aircraft back then. So, yeah, I mean, I think some of the sightings are maybe explainable, but then you have this huge, vast variety of things that, don't fit into any conventional explanation.
And the thing we've always talked about, especially with regard to the 1897 airships, is craft that is one or two steps beyond us.
Yes.
The technology improves as our technology improves.
Well, and you have to, once again, refer to normalcy bias. You're going to try to describe things from your perspective. Balloons were known in the 1890s, at the end of the 19th century, people knew what balloons were. So a thing flying around, it's like a balloon or like an airship. To go back to the biblical story of Ezekiel, what was he actually describing? He was trying to use words, his vocabulary, his dictionary of that era. And, probably what he saw isn't a literal representation of how he described it. It was something much different. And that goes back to the airship thing. Were they, flying dirigibles? Maybe not, probably not, but that was just the way they described it. And once again, we saw a flying saucer, with the Arnold description. That was just the vocabulary that he had trying to describe something truly amazing that he witnessed, there in the Western United States.
Except that Kenneth Arnold never called them flying saucers.
No.
That was a description by the media talking about the motion in flying, like saucers skipping across water. If they called them like stones, instead of having flying saucers, we would have had flying stones. Now, wouldn't that have been strange? Let me tell you, Trey Hudson joins us. Of course, he's involved in the book, The Meadow Project, about a strange place in the southern United States where wacky things happen. I'm Gene, he's Tim. You're in
The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, formerly Air Force Lieutenant Colonel, Air National Guard and Reservist. I'm looking for veterans, active duty military personnel to join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. She needs your skills, courage, and loyalty more than ever. Contact GCMteam.com. Because of the financial and healthcare collapse, veterans are currently struggling finding jobs. Frustrated looking for a job? Change your tactics. Join the 90 for Life crusade to save America. Start a healthcare business with FDI Longevity 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCMteam.com. Immediately. We're looking for military specialists who can use a computer and communicate information and execute a battle plan. Join the admirals, Navy SEALs, Marines, pilots, Army officers, military police, sheriffs, police officers, firemen, and first responders already enrolled in the 90 for Life crusade. Contact GCNteam.com now. FDI Longevity will help you apply your military skills to the task of saving America through health and financial programs. Contact GCNteam.com. Enlist in GCNteam.com and save America.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Marriott is suspending all of its operations in Russia. The hotel company is citing restrictions imposed by the U.S., U.K., and EU. Marriott International said in a statement it has come to view that the newly announced restrictions will make it impossible for them to continue to operate or franchise hotels in the Russian market. The company closed its Moscow office and paused the opening of new hotels and all future hotel investment in Russia following the invasion of Ukraine 101 days ago. The baby formula plant that was shuttered after a federal inspection has reopened. The Abbott Nutrition plant in Sturgis, Michigan, had been closed for 5 months after an FDA inspection discovered unsanitary conditions. The factory produced most of the country's supply of powdered Similac and specialty formulas. Its closure led to the national shortage of baby formula. This is USA Radio News. The GOP nominee for Senator of Pennsylvania is the celebrity Dr. Mehmet Oz. His opponent, former hedge fund CEO Dave McCormick, conceded to Oz on Friday. He said it became clear to him that Oz would be the nominee, with the recount largely completed. Oz will go on to face Democratic Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman in the fall. Fetterman has been off the campaign trail in recent weeks after suffering a stroke. He said on Friday that he almost died and urged people to not ignore doctor's orders. A change of view will mean a change in jobs for a Republican congressman. New York's Chris Jacobs says he will not run for a second term. He broke from his party when he announced that he would support an assault weapons ban. Jacobs told the Buffalo News that the mass shooting in Texas and the racially motivated shooting at a Buffalo grocery store changed his stance. That prompted every elected GOP leader who had endorsed his re-election bid to withdraw their support. Jacobs also lost the backing of the Republican and conservative parties in the Empire State. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Americans have the most colorful language in the world, and that vibrant language is our basis for thinking in big ways, new ways, efficient ways, and better ways. Americans have freedom of speech. The pairing of our colorful language and freedom of speech has made us the people and the nation that we are today. Imagine what it would be like not having the freedom to speak our minds, communicate our thoughts and ideas, and hear those from others. Americans have a passion for and yearn for the truth. There are those who want to destroy our freedom and right to hear the truth. The truth is under attack. GCN is under attack. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to free speech. Would you like to join us? Please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. Please help us bring you the truth 24 hours per day. I'm Vincent Finelli.
Hi, my name is Richard Dolan. You're listening to the Paracast.
More fascinating stuff, not talking about UFOs, UFO mysteries, strange objects seen, how people interpret those things. Like, of course, I'm a fan of Star Trek, and you think when you look at Star Trek, how the people who wrote the scripts and Gene Roddenberry, who created the show in the 60s, were thinking, what will the 23rd century be like? And they came up with stuff. Strangely enough, a lot of that stuff has come true already. And as we know, scientists are really looking into some kind of matter transportation or teleportation. They're looking into the possibilities of warp drive. But then in the Star Trek lexicon, warp drive is invented in 2063. So we have, what, 41 years?
Yeah, more or less. And, you know, you were alluding to it. You know, here I am talking to you and your audience on a device that I'm holding up to my ear. That's also a computer that I can do, you know, face-to-face communications with somebody anywhere in the world. So I remember seeing, you know, the tricorders, you know, and the communicators as a child watching Star Trek, thinking, you know, I'll never see that in my lifetime. Yet here we are.
Well, an iPhone or a Samsung Galaxy, they're mostly tricorders, and to some degree, the Apple Watch and other smartwatches have the fitness capability, the diagnosis capability, so I can check my AFib with an Apple Watch, and it warns me if my heartbeat is going sideways.
You know, it's amazing, you know, how far we've come, and, you know, using the, you know, the Star Trek analogy, and, you know, I read a report or an analysis saying that our technology is increasing exponentially, not one plus one plus one, but, you know, two times, you know, to four, to eight, to 16, to 32. And so, you know, in a few years, by the time we get to the point where warp drive was supposedly created, in the Star Trek universe, you know, what will we really have? And the idea of warp drive might be just pale in comparison to where we're headed, you know, here in the next few decades.
Well, you're talking about Star Trek, and I'm not as up to the Star Trek universe as you are, Gene. I will say, though, that, and I think Trey makes a good point, that Star Trek predicted, what was it, Gene, that the warp drive would be invented by 2040?
A crazy scientist named Zefrin Cochran invents warp drive in 2063. The warp signature is detected by the Vulcans, and therefore we have first contact. But that's an interesting point. They didn't think of first contact as happening with beings visiting the Earth now. They think of it as happening once they see that we've developed to the point where we can be contacted.
Now, I was going to say, hadn't the Vulcans already been to Earth in secret before Cochran, but they just hadn't revealed themselves yet?
I think that's part of it. My Star Trek knowledge is not as great as some people think. I mean, I watched the series. I enjoyed them. I had recently gone through all the episodes, 7 seasons of Star Trek Next Generation. I'm on the end of the 2nd season of Star Trek Deep Space Nine. I am on the fence about going to Voyager or Enterprise. I do watch Star Trek Strange New Worlds and Star Trek Discovery and Star Trek Picard. So all I say is, engage.
but as Trey was saying, though, you know, as our knowledge increases exponentially, you know, we think of warp drive as being, you know, possibly the next, you know, big thing, you know, to be able to have interstellar travel, if that is possible. But I think that there's a possibility that there may be, you know, a discovery that goes even beyond the aspects of warp drive. Where, you know, because I've often suggested that if UFOs do represent, at least one part of UFO phenomena does represent, extraterrestrials coming to us from other solar systems, that there is probably some kind of time travel involved to be able to circumnavigate that amount of space between solar systems, or maybe, you know, maybe even galaxies. So, you know, I wonder if we may actually be getting closer to the discovery of some kind of time travel drive.
That's a great point. You know, instead of thinking of things in a Euclidic way of, you know, getting from here to there, what if we're looking at from getting from then to now?
Right. So it's one of the curious things about some UFO occupant sightings seems to be, first of all, they're concerned with they seem to, you know, suggest that we're not, you know, looking at time wrong, or that we've got the idea of time wrong, and as well, in some close encounter cases, there does seem to be a warping of time and space, that, you know, people have not only missing time, but added time. I know I've investigated a couple of cases where people who have had, you know, UFO come very close to them, and when they get home, they find that they get home a lot earlier than they should have. Mm-hmm. You know, so I often wondered if, you know, if these devices aren't using some kind of, you know, for want of a better word, time warping capabilities as part of their, you know, propulsion or drive systems.
For people who have been listening to the PowerCast for many years, our original co-host told a story once where he and a friend were traveling from Boston back to New York. This was, of course, during the days of the Macworld Computer Expo in Boston. And normally it would be a trip of about 4 hours. On this particular day, it took around 2 hours. Hmm. And believe you me, if you've traveled from Boston to New York, you cannot drive that fast without either being stopped, getting into a serious accident, or violating the laws of physics?
Well, you know, that goes to a good point. You know, you mentioned, I think Tim mentioned, you know, these craft having some sort of technology that involves time. If you are bending space-time, you know, looking at relativity, is time flows differently where you have singularities, you know, and that they're using some sort of mechanism to bend space-time. If you're close to that singularity, your time is going to be altered either faster or slower, depending on your relationship to it. So, yeah, of course, it makes sense. It makes perfect sense.
This reminds me of another episode of Star Trek Next Generation where he goes into a trance or is knocked out, Captain Picard, and lives an entire lifetime on another place within the space of maybe 20 minutes or so. I forget the amount of time on the episode. An entire lifetime. So certainly the perception of time can possibly be very localized. What we perceive as the past of time may be nothing like what E.T. perceives it as being. And certainly traveling to another planet. Traveling, and I'm not talking here about just getting close to light speed, where time appears to slow down, but by doing funky things.
Yeah, certainly the reality might be much stranger than we can imagine.
Speaking of strange realities, we've gotten to so many different places and many more to come with Trey Hudson. We're going to ask him to stick with us for After the Paracast. That's the show available. If you subscribe to the Paracast Plus, check out theparacast.plus. I'm Gene Steinberg. He is Tim Swartz with 27 and a half voices. Here's one. You're in
the Paracast.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Are you ready to retire? Inflation is picking up, the markets are volatile, and the dream of a comfortable retirement is harder to attain than ever before. The stock market goes up and down is beyond your control. But you're at a point in your life where you can't afford to make big financial mistakes. I'm Al Abaroa, founder of Knight Strategic Wealth. Our investment strategy allows you to go up with the stock market, lock in your gains, and when the stock market goes down, your investment won't lose a dime. This works for your investments, savings at a brokerage firm, or even money in a bank. It's simple, it's safe, and that's why savvy investors work with us. Want to learn more? Text FREE to 833-898-0500, and we'll send our retirement readiness kit directly to your phone right now. If you want to help build a retirement portfolio that will go up with the market and literally never lose money, get our retirement readiness kit today and see how this strategy can help secure your future. Text FREE to 833-898-0500. Text FREE to 833-898-0500.
Do you experience fatigue when you know you should have energy? One reason fatigue can occur is due to a lack of antioxidants in the body. This deficiency happens the older we get, or due to eating an unhealthy diet, or even due to exercise. Your body's number one antioxidant is glutathione. When your cells are depleted of glutathione, you will be fatigued, inflamed, possibly depressed, and may also feel pain. Empirical results indicate that consuming green metal whey protein powder is the most effective means of increasing glutathione production. Green metal whey supplies nature's richest source of the precursor to making lacking glutathione within the trillions of cells of your body. This protein strongly supports the cell's ability to make glutathione. Add to this that green meadow whey also supports immunity, energy, lean muscle development, fat loss, and has anti-cancer properties, and you have nature's most complete and strongest superfood. To order, go to bestwheyprotein.net. That's BESTWHEY protein.net or call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is, Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hello, this is John Burroughs, one of the witnesses to the Rendlesham UFO incident. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
See the upward tilt of his voice? Jim Swartz. Trey, talking about time distortion and things like that. Let's go on with that.
Yeah, you know, and I started thinking about, you know, time distortions and, you know, quantum physics and all of that is, you know, if we think about existence, reality, you know, if from a quantum standpoint, you have, you know, the M theory, you have the theory of different brains, which are like, you know, if you imagine a two-dimensional sheets of dimensions hanging, you know, or existing almost parallel. And, you know, one of the more popular things is a string, you know, existence is a string, a linear, you know, point A to point B kind of thing. And this existence will wrap around and twist around itself. And if you can imagine this existence, this reality, looping back and touching back on itself. So you have a future time and a present time and a past time, maybe all touching, you know, together. What are you most likely to be the most quantum entangled with? That would be yourself. So what if we're experiencing ourselves from different timelines and we're interacting with ourselves? And that's what maybe we're experiencing with these different instances of high strangeness, is us being quantum entangled with our past and future selves.
What about ourselves in another reality?
Correct. You know, another timeline. You know, there are some theories that, you know, every time you make a micro decision, another timeline is created. You know, and I'm starting to get in Donnie Darko kind of stuff, but yeah, exactly. You would be quantum entangled with your alternate self.
The TV show Superman Lois, which is Superman after 20 years married to Lois Lane with 2 teenage kids, they're exploring the multiverse, and the other side you have the Bizarro universe, where things are totally different. And you have this reality here, and he's fighting villains between the two universes. Certainly all the so-called Arrowverse shows on the CW TV network focus on multiverse, where Supergirl lived in one multiverse, Earth 38, and The Flash lived in Earth 1. And then they merged the realities, and now I'm so dizzy from the realities, I can't figure out which way is up.
It's kind of funny that some of these more, you know, mind-boggling, crazy, off the reservation concepts are actually being, you know, communicated to people through fiction. You know, kind of the way it is. You know, Jules Verne talked about atomic submarines and, you know, time travel himself. So, you know, science fiction and fiction, you know, perhaps is the record of the future.
Of course, H.G. Wells and the Time Machine, except he went to the future.
Yeah.
And remember, he never names the character who flew. He was always the time traveler. In the movie with Rod Taylor, which I thought was a really, really good movie, he called himself George. because, of course, the perception being that H.G. Wells himself was the inventor of the time machine in certain shows like Murdoch Mysteries, the Canadian show about a period piece around the turn of the century, in the New Adventures of Superman, Lois and Clark, they met H.G. Wells as a time traveler.
Who knows? Who knows? I think maybe some of these older authors were perhaps onto some concepts way beyond what we know.
The fact that they even did those things, you know, in what, the late 1890s, we have War of the Worlds, we have The Time Machine, and we're talking here about sci-fi concepts that are still current in this day and age.
Well, yeah, you know, you were talking about War of the Worlds, you know, it was just recently, I mean, that's a relative term, but, you know, Cruise was in, you know, a recent iteration of the War of the Worlds. Recently I watched the 1957-58 version of War of the Worlds, and it's a story that is timeless, you know, as is the Time Machine and some of these other stories. You know, these are concepts. These are, you know, if you start looking at symbionics, you know, these are, you know, very visceral themes that seem to resonate, you know, with audiences regardless of, you know, what time period they're in.
The flaw in War of the Worlds is how E.T. is defeated. He is, or it is, invulnerable, except it succumbs to earthly viruses. You'd have to think, if they were so smart to get here, they would take into account such things as local microbes and protect themselves against it. Fundamental flaw that may have not seemed that way in 1897. But that, when I see the movie, occurs to me. How can they be so dumb?
Well, you know, it had to be, you know, a triumph of good over evil. So, you know, there had to be some sort of mechanism to, you know, to defeat an advanced civilization. And what an interesting juxtaposition that a mindless, soulless, godless microbe was the eventual downfall of our potential oppressors.
And it's funny how the movie Independence Day does the same thing, but using different technology. They give E.T. a cold using a computer virus to destroy the mothership. And that's straight out War of the Worlds, the idea.
Yeah, absolutely. Except one is a digital virus and the other is a physical virus.
Correct. Of course, then we wonder here, if E.T.'s visiting us, we would assume they would take precautions against it to protect us or themselves. By the same token, who knows? Because possibly if they, all life forms around the universe are made of the same elements, maybe the same basic viruses are everywhere, so they can take their Tylenol, they can take their version of cold tablets, and be done with it. But is it true that in the Star Trek universe, the common cold has not been eradicated?
Yeah, you know, well, you're talking about viruses. You know, what if, you know, E.T., you know, that's a broad term, these other intelligences, what if they are viruses? Or if they're a form that's so alien to us that we don't assign, you know, intelligence to them? You know, it's something that we assume is incapable of thought, incapable of action, when in fact it is a life form that, for lack of a better term, is so alien to us that we can't even conceive it.
You're kind of describing the alien in the movie Contact. The alien encounters the protagonist, Jodie Foster's character, as a radio astronomer, and says that he appears to her, or it appears to her, in the form of her late dad, because she could not accept his real appearance. We can accept the fact that we're just about out of time with Trey Hudson. He'll be back with After the Paracast for Paracast Plus listeners. In the meantime, tell us about the book, where you can get a copy, and about your work if we want to know more.
Sure. Yeah, the book, The Meadow Project Explorations into the South Skinwalker Ranch, is on Amazon. I have it in hardback, softback, ebook, and audiobook. Just go to Amazon, type in my name, Trey Hudson, and you will see it pop up. I think the ebook is an exceptional deal. I think it's less than $6 or $5. So, you know, it's out there. I would be really, really happy if people would take a look at it.
And where can we find you?
Usually I'm passed out in the alleyway behind the local liquor store. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding, of course. You can find me on Facebook. Probably the easiest way is Trey Hudson - author. And, you know, that's kind of where I hang out. And, you know, we discuss various things. I'll post articles about various esoteric topics and, always enjoy the back and forth and comments from that.
You can find us on Twitter if you look for the Paracast. Check out the Paracast on Facebook, where there's a group where you can check out a group or a community for Paracast listeners. We also offer branded merchandise with different logos at theparacast.shop. I like all those top-level domain names, .shop, theparacast.shop. Choose the stuff you want and the size that fits you best. We also offer the Paracast Plus. Added features for loyal Paracast listeners, including the After the Paracast podcast, where our guest Trey Hudson will be back. Also, we give you the show free of the network ads, and we have this special deal, such a deal. Use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, when you order a Paracast Plus subscription. For 5 years or a lifetime subscription, we give you 20% off. Go to theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus for more info. Trey Hudson, thanks for joining us on the Paracast.
Well, thank you for having me, and if I may do my best Paracast voice, thank you for having me as a guest on the Paracast.
Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Hi, this is Sophie Winnick, longtime distributor and user of Longevity products. In the last few years, my family went through a crisis. Everything else in my life, including my business, had to be put on the back burner. Thankfully, life is getting back to normal now. But the one thing I never had to worry about was my business and my monthly commission. I've been a distributor for Longevity for over 17 years, since before it was Longevity. And I've got to say, the most amazing thing about this company is the people. While my family was in crisis, other distributors stepped in and helped my customers, simply because that's what Longevity people do, even for people they don't know. For me, it has never been about getting rich. It was about a product I could stand behind, a company I could count on, and a monthly commission check that has never, not once, been late in 17 years. Longevity is truly a business for everyone, even people who have too much to do. I'm Sophie Winnick. I'm just like you. I have a real life, real ups and downs, but I know I will always have Longevity.